Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, this is your spoiler warning. If you haven't seen Rage and you want to, don't listen to this podcast first. Of course, we are referring to Rage, the 2009 art house film, and not Rage, the iconic music video show on Channel 2.
You can't really spoil a compilation music video show.
So. Yeah, I know, but I'm being
sorry
courteous.
For your spoiler
you fucked
warning.
It up. Anyway, spoiler warning. Thanks, guys.
Peace. I hate the word.
I got one leg, you're gonna fuck it in chicken. I'm gonna put a little cornstarch on my werewolf, man. Luigi Mario!
Hello and welcome to Mish and Zach's Leguizamarama, a podcast where every week Mish and Zach, or Zach and Mish, sit down and watch one thing starring our favourite actor in the entire world, Mr. John Leguizamo. Then we talk about something else for about 45 minutes. Then we talk about that thing for about 15 minutes. I am one of the hosts. My name is Zachary Ruane. You might know me from, have we done the Sydney show yet?
Oh, we'd be so close.
I don't know when this is coming out, but either having just done the Sydney show where we presented Super Mario Brothers or about to do the Sydney show where we present Super Mario Brothers, go and see that.
Or acknowledge that we did it.
Woo! Or acknowledge that we did it.
Thank you. Yay.
I'm joined, as always, by Mish Witchrup.
Who wants to make something very clear. Mm-hmm. A couple of people in the DMs were like, why is it Mish and Zach and not Zach and Mish? Mm-hmm. I want to make it really, really clear that this was not something I forced upon my co-host.
Okay, sure.
No,
sure.
Don't fucking do that, because people are like, I reckon that she would have been a diva about it because Zach is Zach Ruane.
Yeah.
But no, it sounds better alphabetically.
Alphabetical, obviously.
Yes, exactly.
I'm really struggling here, and we will introduce you, Tilly, but I'm really struggling here between which way do I play this? I was very gracious. I was the one that pitched Mish and Zach.
Which is the truth.
Because I thought it sounded better. And also I wanted to give a platform to a friend I found really, really funny. So in that one I'm a hero. Alternatively, I trade in the hero card and make you look like an awful diva. I'm struggling to decide whether I want to give me points or take points from you, because either way, I'm winning.
1 year, no, 3 years ago.
Can we just introduce Tilly? Yes. Tilly is a music theatre performer. What have you done? You've done so many musicals.
YouTube.
YouTube.
Social
the
media.
YouTube.
Many viral images on Facebook and Instagram. Oh, you've had virals.
Stop it. You're flirting. and have had a few viral diseases.
Essentially, Tilly's like one of those ridiculously talented people that we've met at uni who has gone on to be far more successful than the vast majority of people, although the minority of people in this room.
Yeah, not Zach Ruane.
Just the minority of people in this room. Like a ridiculous talent. Welcome, Tilly.
Thank you. Tilly Capulet, how are you?
Oh, my God. What a fucking treat to be here.
Thank you so much. Well, you are, I think, the fewest degrees of separation from John Leguizamo, so that's of note.
Well, this isn't a lie. When Zach and I had agreed to do this podcast, or like we came up with the idea, you were one of the people that we said we've got to get Tilly on, because Tilly, tell us why.
So here's the thing. When Mish said she was floating this idea of doing a podcast and that she wants me to have me on the show, yes, I've worked with Baz Luhrmann on
Baz Luhrmann.
Yes. Yes. So I thought, great, they're going to get me on for one of the Baz Luhrmann films
that John Leguizamo has done.
But no, you got me to watch this piece of shit film called fucking Rage.
I'm so sorry.
It's aptly put, because that's what I felt when I was watching this film. Yeah,
it would have made sense for us to put you on for Baz Luhrmann.
It would have made all... I need to be really clear here. Okay, I've got it. I'm the hero that put Mish's name first in the title. Also, Mish chooses the films and the guests.
It is true.
So I'm going to give me points and take points from Mish.
To be honest with you, I just wanted to see you, and this was the movie that was next up.
No, we'll do it. We will do a Baz eventually. Yeah. This is a treat. This is a little aperitif.
So what were you in that Baz directed?
I was in Strictly Ballroom, the musical that Baz Luhrmann directed.
Yes. The one Red Curtain trilogy that John wasn't in.
Yeah.
Yes, it's true. Okay, so... There's you that know,
don't get too
thing.
Full of yourself.
But do you know what I was doing today?
What?
Romeo and Juliet at high schools.
Oh, wow. Are you touring high schools with Romeo? What are you, who are you in?
So I play a multitude of characters.
Yes, great.
I play Mercutio Tybalt. Lol. The prince and the friar and, of course, the nurse.
Oh, that's right.
That's good.
That's pretty cool.
Is good.
Yeah.
Can we get some? Can we see that?
No. Why would you want to?
Well, are you saying that right now? Are you asking Tilly to do a little play?
I can do it as a one-man show.
Yeah, I'd love
that.
Do you think you've done it enough now? Do you think you've done it enough now that if I ripped out a line from Romeo and Juliet, you'd be able to say who said that?
Give it a shot, but we do like a condensed 1 hour version. Oh, here she goes. She pulls out her fucking phone.
Yeah, I'm ready. I love
it's gotta
this
be,
shit.
It's got to be like a line that's going to be in the
Wait,
hour
is
version.
It this? I hate the word.
No, we all know who that is. My only love sprung from my only hate.
That's
Juliet.
I don't know. It doesn't say.
It's Juliet, I believe. Yeah, it's,
my only love.
She's at the pool. So the only version of Romeo and Juliet in my book is the Baz Luhrmann, or should I say the John Leguizamo. Yeah.
What about parting is such sweet sorrow?
Stop giving like Romeo and Juliet lines. The lead character.
The nurse.
All right, sorry, yeah.
We got the next best thing to Miriam Margolyes in this room.
Oh. What drawn and talk of peace? I hate the word. I hate hell, all Montagues and thee.
Tybalt! Yes. Oh, wow. John Leguizamo.
Do you say that in this version of it, or has that been cut?
No, in this version, I come out, I say one line, we have a knife fight, and then I get stabbed and die as Tybalt. That's all Tybalt
does. Oh, wow.
That's how Shakespeare would have really
version.
Wanted it. I think when Shakespeare was writing this, he's like, I hope one day, if Shakespeare wrote it, I hope one day.
Yeah.
That this is truncated to the shit, and this character that says some of the most beautiful lines in theatre history
Do you know
is reduced
my,
to one line.
My favourite thing about the, you know, when that was really big because of that movie that came out, it was like, did Shakespeare write the plays? I don't,
Anonymous.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think I have a higher thing on my list of where my answer is, I don't give a shit. Like, where people are like, yeah. I think someone else wrote it. I'm like, okay. I'm good. Okay.
Who cares?
Suddenly, we're just talking about Shakespeare. Sorry, everyone that hates Shakespeare, but when I was at high school.
Oh, look, don't worry about it.
Don't stress.
We don't care what they want to hear about.
Do not.
As it goes with my last name, doesn't it? So that's
well, that's exactly right.
That's very true. And really, truly, it does not. Matter. This is the well for me. It's my side project where anything, no matter how niche, I can just let it out. For Mish, it's her side project where
test. I can. I'm honing my craft.
Honing the craft, and for you, this can be an experience in talking about Shakespeare a lot. Or it can be whatever you want it to be, because we don't care about our audience.
Yet they keep coming back.
All like five of them, we love them.
Masochism.
This is the point where I always kind of slip in and say, like, Zach doesn't care because he doesn't have to. I, on the other hand, love you all.
She's trying
and
to
want
win
you
back.
All to follow me on Instagram.
And I do love this audience. You're all beautiful. I always get a special treat when I get a... When I get a message or an approach when someone talks about this podcast, it's like, that's lovely. You're not just yelling put at me. You're not just someone that bullied me in high school going, put! You know, so it's lovely.
Do you know how much put has come into my life? You fuckheads.
What happened?
Oh, my God, just straight men are obsessed with going, Pod.
They do. They love it. They love it.
Wait, you've done a Donna.
Yes, we did a sketch together.
I remember.
Zoom, 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 zoom.
Yeah,
the pitch perfect
one.
That's it. Well, everyone here has been in a Donna sketch. All three of us have been in at least one Donna
have
sketch.
Have you?
I did miss the mustache man.
That was really good. That was a really good one.
They didn't let me do more of them, and then this started.
My favourite thing at the moment is that I've been doing a bunch of other podcasts for other people. Look it up. And they use headshots of all the comedians that they have on them, except I haven't got a headshot since 2012. So the photo they use of me is the Bunnings woman. That's my headshot for like on Brilliant. Posters for stuff now.
That's so funny.
No, we met at uni.
Yes.
And I think it's probably worth noting because we do talk about uni a fair bit on this podcast.
Do we?
It comes up.
We talk about everything so much that I don't know if any one thing is like a thing we talk
no,
about.
No, it comes up. So Tilly and I were in the same year level.
You were. Yes.
But
different courses.
Yeah, Tilly studied musical theatre and I was studying acting.
Mm.
But that's how we met.
Isn't it funny that you studied music theatre and now you're doing a play and you studied acting and now you're doing whatever the fuck this is?
You bitch.
You fucking bitch. No, I'm doing this as well. There are days where I just go, what are we doing?
Yeah, I don't understand. There are days where I'm like, so I'm currently trying to find
are doing other stuff. I want to say that very clearly.
Yeah, no, it's fair. But I think it's also worth checking in that about a month ago I mentioned that I was made redundant and that I no longer have a job.
Mm.
I now have a couple of jobs, which is really great, but I'm also looking for more work. And now I was like looking at like ways that I can like hone in my admin experience, a bit of bookkeeping, a lot of office management, like where can I place that? And I'm like, oh, but I've got to make sure that while trying to pay the bills and the rent and keep my dog alive and move out with my partner and all of that, I have to make sure I have time to discuss John Leguizamo's sketches called Big Balls. So somewhere in my adult life, I make time for 2 hours of doing that.
Oh, my goodness. There was a point today, I was explaining earlier, I've had a very busy day where I'm recording this and it was just really, really hectic. And then I was like, exactly that. I was like, oh, at some point I need to have a weird, experimental, indulgent, student film-esque series of monologues playing in double time behind me while I continue to do this work.
I was going
to
ask. I should have bloody put it on triple time.
Oh, my goodness.
Zach watches most of our films on.
Not most. Well, not most.
You've gotten, like, the first few episodes that you did were, like, his good ones. You've got a few up the sleeve that are the really good ones.
Yeah.
Like, I'd never heard of this film before.
Yeah.
Was surprised at the all-star cast.
Yeah, of course. Before we launch into the film, what is your relationship with John Leguizamo? But you know what I mean. Like, did you know who he was? Because you actually, when we announced that we were doing this podcast, you slid into the DMs and were like, oh my God, this is very exciting.
Yeah, I just really love his work in Big Balls.
Yes. Yes. Very good.
Who doesn't? I mean, that was one of the best, one of the highlights of the Funny or Die era.
Yeah.
But so you knew who he was. You were a fan.
Oh, yeah, of course.
That's great.
Of course. Don't patronise me.
No, that's not patronising. He's not super well known in Australia.
Yeah.
And we kind of thought, I think we thought when we started doing this, we thought there would be just a frisson more like other people that have this emotional connection, this like, he's done so many movies in our childhoods that just hit in a certain way.
Yeah.
We assumed it would hit other people and it has, and that's the three people listening. But it's really exciting when a guest is like, not only did I look him up and go, oh, but like you were actually a fan of his work.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's incredible.
Yeah.
Like, even in this film where he's in two scenes doing monologues, he's a master class of acting.
Yeah.
He's brilliant. But the films that I know him from are his more like well-known ones.
Yes,
like
yes.
Obsessed the Romeo with and his Tybalt.
Yeah.
And Toulouse-Lautrec. And of course, Too Long. We should mention, I don't think we've even mentioned, I am a drag queen.
Oh, yeah.
So do you want to introduce yourself? Because I did so poorly at that introduction. I did so, so badly. I've had a big day, and I was going to throw to Mish to do the intro because I was like, I don't want to fuck this up, Tilly, because I'm a really big fan, but I fucked it up. So you're a drag queen.
Well, yes, I should
say. You're a music theatre performer, all the things.
Like, I'm devastated that there's not cameras here because I came in full drag in my massive ball gown.
And I can't believe Zach didn't just Jerry.
Yeah.
Well, no, you are an actor, a singer, a musical theatre performer, a YouTuber and a drag queen.
Look, I'll do anything for a buck.
Yeah. No, but like lots of awards. You'd get you win all the Fringe Awards.
Well,
you do. There's all of them. Like, and you did Party Snake last year, which toured and sold out and won all the awards. Yeah.
Yes. Well, we're up for an award for the Green Room this year, which is super exciting.
Oh my god, that's right. Wait, is that Party Snake the show? Is like, what's the award?
The best performer.
Get fucked.
That's amazing.
So cool.
Yeah, Green Room.
So that was a terrible introduction. I feel really bad. In fact, I hate it what I did there, but that's so exciting! Congratulations!
Thank you.
So not only did we not get Tilly on for Baz Luhrmann, but we didn't get Tilly on for the famous drag queen movie. We got Tilly on for Rage.
Well, the fashion. You're a fashionista.
Do you know what?
Can I explain the link?
Yes.
Or what were you going to say?
I was going to say the film is very weirdly me.
It's your theatrical. The thinking in my mind was your theatrical. And also, Tilly had her origins in the Tilly Project.
Yes, which was
where you would recreate famous fashion runway imagery or dresses using things you had lying around the house.
Yeah, household items. I've since archived all the photos and have used my 15,000 followers for my drag queen Instagram profile.
That is genius.
Very clever.
Yeah, if you look up the Tilly Project, like on Google or whatever, I'm sure a whole bunch of images come up.
I think it does come up,
But also your drag is like phenomenal.
Thank you. I'm trying to shift the focus off of that one onto my full drag.
Yeah.
Shout out to RuPaul's Drag Race. Have me on season 3. Thank you.
Has season 2 been cast already?
No, I'm not ready for season 2. You know, strategic, babe. I want to win.
Season 3.
Yeah, you want to get that season 3. We know more MasterChef in this, family.
Yes, well, you did a podcast on MasterChef.
That's right.
Absolutely. And I think season 3, here's my opinion on reality shows. And RuPaul, the original RuPaul, I've never seen season 1 because it was hard to get and it's like just...
Yeah,
Vaseline screen,
yeah.
But the thing I think with reality shows are season 1, there's like a spark, there's a spunk, there's something really exciting. Season 2 is when all the people that were like, I'm not going to go for season 1, go for it. So I think usually season 2 is like the most fire season.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah.
That's the Adam Lau season of MasterChef.
Yeah.
Season 3, that's a good one. That's a smart one.
Yeah, season 3, I wanted to see where the show landed, season 1, to be, okay, what kind of drag are they experiencing?
Mm.
How can I elevate that?
Fuck
and
yeah.
How can I have enough money to be able to go on the fucking show? Because it costs a shit ton of money to do
that. Yeah, because you have to bring all your own costumes and everything, don't you? Like,
it's actually quite ridiculous when you think about it. Now we're talking about drag race.
No, it's fine.
We cannot express to you. If all we did was talk about the movie we'd watch, we'd be like, John Leguizamo was good. Yeah. The script was not to the standard we believe he should get. By now.
yeah, exactly. Well, this is also quite apt because you were on Drag Race.
I did do a little cameo in Drag Race, which was very surreal.
I screamed. I was like, yes, you know them from Auntie Donna, but I know them from uni. That's my friends.
That was very funny. That was, I think, particularly strange because of COVID.
Mm.
We couldn't go in the studio. Like, we couldn't do the... Look who I ran into in the studio, Lisa Kudrow moment.
Were they actually there? Are you allowed to say that?
I don't know if I'm meant to say.
Can you nod or shake your head right now?
Well, what's the assumption? What do you think they're trying to create?
No, I think any of the guests that they have were pre-recorded and they pre-record like, ha, 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 to react to whatever the girls do.
Right, yeah, yeah, right. But I'm now thinking, I mean, I would have just told you either way, but I'm now thinking...
Probably keep that
that's
wraps.
Something... Well, do you know what? I just assumed we were all going to... Like, I didn't think it was, like, what you're describing.
Right.
Or that there was any sort of secret about how we did it or not.
Right.
And then I saw Taika Waititi doing his whole, like, yes, very good.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Not good. And I was like... Oh, okay. Well, we meant to be.
But the thing is, Auntie Donna, though, that type of thing would work for you because you wouldn't know if it was supposed to be like that or if it was just fucking stupid, like Auntie Donna.
There was big conspiracy theories that Rue wasn't even there.
In New Zealand.
Yeah, that, like that Rue wasn't, because at no point there's like been all these like compilation videos made about it and shit. At no point does he touch any of the contestants. They never seen like
that's
overlapping.
That's just because he's a bitch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I should not say that if I want to get on this show.
Take it back. No, but there's no. They never overlap each other. They're all like there was this big conspiracy that Rue's not even there. It's like you know that Rue is there if the only guest they have on in person is Raven every time.
Yes.
Whenever Raven's a guest, you're like, well, Rue's there.
Because
that's Rue's makeup artist.
I tell you what.
That is important to say. Yeah. We do need to say that. We got to bring the audience on that a little bit.
Especially if your audience grew from MasterChef. It's good to educate the children.
So basically, Rue had a makeup artist and hair person. He was the man that created the Rue as we know her. Then something mysterious happened around season 9. There's some odd photos of the first few episodes.
I love how much you know about it.
Yeah, but you watch it
properly.
Yeah. Very. The last few seasons I've been a bit shaky,
sure.
But yeah,
there's
like,
a lot. There's so many of them.
There's a billion. I've actually kind of jumped over to UK now as my main.
The most recent season of UK Drag Race is my favourite season.
The best season
Bimini,
of all time.
Bimini Bombalash is like my favourite, is in my top 5 favourite drag queens.
Season 1 and 2 of UK gives me season 5 and 6 of US vibes.
Yes!
100%.
It's back to professional, world class, but a little scrappy, a little rough around the edges.
That's when I like, that's why when I like the drag queens on RuPaul's Drag Race the most is when they're a bit scrappy. There's like this journey between from the start to finish, and you see it in Bimini.
I mean, you're a drag queen. You'll have more opinions than me. I just think the later seasons of the American, I'm struggling a little bit to connect with it because there are people on that show that wouldn't be drag queens if not for RuPaul's Drag Race.
True. Very true.
Which is okay. Which is kind of cool, and that's often framed as a good thing, and it is beautiful. But there's something about the earlier seasons where it's like these girls are doing this whether they make a living from it or not. They'll do it in a pub or they'll do it on the TV.
Yeah.
And those are the people that interest me, those ones that just go
and
for it.
That's what I was so excited about Australia for, is because we have such iconic legends and we got to see some of them, like your Maxi Shields in the Australian one. But I think that editing and production team just need maybe a couple of years to work out how they want to really push Australian drag to Drag Race, because Drag Race is so American and Australian drag is so different to American drag. And I know that it has potential to be so good once they sort of work out what they're doing. So if you're a Drag Race fan and you don't like season 1 of Drag Race Down Under, please stick with it. I'm sure it will find its feet.
At the very least until season 3.
Well, I want to do a cameo. I want my friend to keep getting judging roles, and I want you to get season 3. So let's do this.
Oh, my gosh. Actually, though, Auntie Donna in the studio being like a Drag Race panel judge would be ultimate chaos and would be so good TV.
See, this is the thing. That's lovely of you to say, but I worry it would have Joel McHale vibes. I've always worried when they asked, I was like very close to like, I don't want to be Joel McHale. Like, I loved it, but
is he the
Joel
one
McHale
that was like wooing?
Yeah, and I loved it for how mad Michelle Visage got.
That was so funny.
But I just I wouldn't want to come in and like, I love that show, and I would hate to come in and just be like the wrong energy I don't want to be Joel McHale. I loved being Lisa Kudrow.
Well, maybe you could be one of those like acting coaches for a skit.
I would love that. I think that would be
Drag Race skits, Auntie Donna skits. It's like the gay version of Tonta.
Like too long, a little bit weird,
a bit chaotic.
No, I would. That would be in my mind the best way. I would love to do that, like a little bit of coaching or.
Like doing a mini challenge.
The episode we were in was the family challenge. I mean, I would love to be that. Oh my God.
Can you imagine?
I want to get famous enough to be like, we're going to drag up Auntie Donna.
Get Mish in as well. Get all of the extras. The extra characters in.
That was when they were like, we want you for the like makeover episode. We're like, what? I'm like, so you can introduce the rugby players. So I was like, nah.
Oh, that'd be sick.
At this point, we probably should read the blurb.
What is that?
We'll get you on another time to talk about Baz.
All right, so this is a very quick blurb on the film, and then after I finish the blurb, we can go back to talking about anything other than the film.
Beautiful. Okay.
All right, cool.
Oh, I'm going to love this. This is good. I'm excited.
You don't even know what it says.
I think you're going to be funny. I think you're going to do a good
one. I actually don't think it's that funny.
Oh, did you go for a more normal one?
No, I just didn't put I didn't put a lot of effort in.
Okay, I understand. I respect it.
But maybe it is funny. I didn't put a lot of effort in, but maybe I've gotten better at this, and now maybe it's just naturally funny.
Tilly comes from the world of fashion, of drag, of cabaret, of music theatre, where effort and hard work and all of those things are not just important but essential.
And respect.
That is what gives you the edge.
Do you know what, though? The more and more you do drag, the less and less you give a shit about it because it's so much fucking effort.
Oh, my God.
I can appreciate it if this is undercooked.
Believe me. All right. This is my drag. All right.
Okay.
Rage is a 2009 art house film about all the different characters in and around a New York fashion house. It stars heaps of really famous Hollywood actors that all wish they could sustain a lavish lifestyle by being theatre actors, but they can't, so they act in movies like Star Wars and Casino Royale and Cats.
Very good.
Thank you.
See, that was funny.
Thank you.
You're putting yourself down a little too early there.
Sorry about that. The movie is about a young guy named Michelangelo. Who films behind-the-scene interviews on his cell phone. Whilst he is conducting these interviews, gunshots are heard and our cute little chat-to-camera movie kind of becomes a murder mystery story with everyone pointing fingers at other people in the fashion house. It's kind of a commentary on the dog-eat-dog industry and a deep study of addiction, power and identity, but mostly it's just a platform for famous actors who want to have their little art house moment. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Anyway, John Leguizamo plays Jed, a security guard of Eddie Izzard, which is actually a delightful pairing, but because this movie is just a series of monologues, they're never actually ever seen in the movie together.
You're absolutely right. That would have been a great...
Eddie Izzard and John Leguizamo.
I would have loved to have seen how that eventuated.
So which one's Eddie Izzard?
Tiny Diamonds.
Which was Tiny Diamonds? I need to say that I'm horrible with character names actor names.
So Eddie Izzard was... So you know how John Leguizamo was a security guard?
Yes.
He was a security guard for Eddie Izzard, who owned something. It was fairly unclear.
I'm just going to Google Eddie Izzard's
German. Like, I know who Eddie Izzard is.
He's a comedian.
Trying to remember who... So she's...
So he was in the film that we watched.
Yes.
What
Eddie Izzard.
Costume?
Had a vest, an embroidered vest and a blazer. My God, was I the only one who watched this film?
No, I watched it in two parts. I finished it this afternoon.
No, it's fine. If you saw his face, you would know.
Cool.
But this movie has, like, Judi Dench.
Yeah.
It has Jude Law. Not good.
You're not a fan of Jude Law?
Wow.
I did not enjoy Jude Law in this film.
I have such a different
take. I didn't
realize
Jude Law was in this film.
Jude Law was, what was the name, the character's name?
Minx.
Wait, which
the drag queen.
Was that Jude Law?
I found out when I Googled it. I watched the whole thing being like, what a cool opportunity for a non-binary actor.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then
welcome to 2009, Tilly.
Yeah, exactly. Then I was like, Jude Law wasn't in it. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Jude Law. And it's got, who else? It's got Steve Buscemi in that. Love yes. that.
Loved Buscemi.
And you know, when Steve Buscemi came on the screen, I saw Steve Buscemi. I was like, oh God, I reckon he's a cameraman. And he fucking was.
Photographer, yeah.
What did you think of the movie, Tilly? What were your thoughts, broadly speaking?
Look.
Opening your mind. There's like a 1% chance that John's listening.
Hey, baby. We love you. Yes. So it took me on a roller coaster of a journey.
Mm.
I have to say that the first time I watched it, not going to lie, I was like, sweet, an art house film. Let's smoke a joint. Let's sit back. Let's enjoy. Mm. I got about 8 minutes in and was like, boring.
Yeah.
And then I realised that I was probably a bit too out of it to actually catch what's going on.
Yeah.
Because it's just a stand to camera and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So then I was like, maybe we need to stop this one and finish it when I'm in a more sober mood.
Yeah.
And today I watched it and I can like appreciate it for what it was, but I do think it just like missed the mark a bit.
That's fair.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm about at.
I thought that the concept was interesting. But that, I don't know, there's just something. So I was kind of like the first 20 minutes of it, I was like, yeah, I could fucking get on board with this. Mm-hmm. I can really tap into my indie fucking theatre wanker right deep down inside and really fucking pick this apart.
Yeah.
And then as it kind of progressed, it did just become, like I said in the blurb, a whole bunch of very famous Hollywood actors being incredibly indulgent.
Mm.
Did you not feel that? Except John.
I think it was, I see how, it was, the director has made really great films. Mm-hmm.
Sally Potter?
Yeah. But she's made really good films, right?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The actors, it would have been not even a full day, a half a day.
Yeah. Mm.
And it's like, do you want to do this interesting concept, half a day? It would have cost her nothing to make.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think they were just trying something. So that's where I'm not going to be like, fuck this movie. Yeah. I think they were just giving something a crack and it didn't quite land.
But don't you think it is all actors that wished they could make it in theatre permanently? Like,
well, some of them do.
Yeah,
very
no, but
well
they always, but no, but in order to, they still have to make
it. No, I thought that was very funny. Yeah. That was a great observation. Thank you.
Do you know what it reminded me of? So when Sydney Fringe last year didn't happen, they tried to push everything online.
Yes.
So all these frantic theatre makers tried to turn this theatre into something that could be filmed. And it just reminded me of that. Like people just sort of, it should have been a stage show.
Amazing moments where people were like, during that moment, and you're more in the theatre scene than I am. Like I used to be a lot more in it, and there was a lot of people that were just like, "Oh my god, there's an amazing like we don't have to do live theatre anymore. There's an amazing way to capture performance. Like that's film. It's existed for over 100 years. I know we're all struggling with this pandemic." But Steven Spielberg is well ahead of what you're doing. Yeah.
And I think if you ever watched someone film a theatre show and then you've watched that film, do you know what I mean? It's never the same.
Mm.
It's never the same. It always looks pretty garbage. And I think I wouldn't say this film looked garbage. I actually didn't hate it. I thought it was enjoyable. But it had that element of like,
it was weird.
It was weird.
And then because it was going for the document. Look, again, all power to, but it was going for the documentary aesthetic, but it was very written. It was monologue-y. Mm. And it was just like, just these like moments. For me, it had like real student
oh my God,
theater,
I wrote that down.
Yeah.
100% something that you do in like second year at drama school.
Yeah. Yes. And that like is written by one of the other students. You're doing it in your spare time.
Oh my God, I just had the worst flashback.
Of second year drama school.
Oh God, yes. We had to write monologues in movement class, and then we had to pick a spot on our uni campus to perform the monologue, and we had to perform it with the written word and then perform it in just a movement piece. I did that, and I feel like that had the same energy as this film.
Do you know there's a moment in this film that reminded me the most of, like, theatre monologues? Mm. Was when someone's just, I was like, bang, 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 off stage, which is something I would do if I was directing a series of monologues. Bang, 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 off stage. And, like, oh, and then there was, like, hullabaloo. And then someone, like, ran onto the camera and then did a monologue. They're like, we can't do a monologue right now. Someone's just died outside. That's the way fashion is, baby. We move fast and we don't do monologues when someone just died. And it's like, oh, okay.
Mine was when the ending, when there's that massive shootout and Judy Dunch. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, Judy Dunch. Judy Dench pulls out a fucking doobie and just lights it up. And she just continues to smoke rather than be, like, freaked out by what's going on, like, just next door. She's going to be like, now it's time for a monologue, darling. Let's go.
Sorry, Tilly, that's just fashion.
Yeah, there was a lot of, it had, do you know why I think I thought student vibes? More than anything was this, it was just, like, observations about the fashion industry. Yeah. That, A, we all know, yeah. We're all there, yeah. Like, we're all there. It's like, okay, yeah, they make the clothes in wet China, like, yeah. I know. Oh, they tell their models to be skinny, what? Yeah. Like, yeah. It was everything we know, but it had this energy of, like, someone writing about fashion that had never been to a... It had this, like, disconnect, yeah, with fashion. Mm. Does that make, yeah, like...
100%.
Like, yeah, like, nothing in this film beats the monologue... This whole film of monologues, there's not a single film, like this experimental, interesting film of monologues about the fashion industry. Nothing in it beats the monologue in Devil Wears Prada where she's like, that shirt you're wearing, yeah, I chose that color, yeah, 3 years ago. You know that monologue?
Yeah, it's a good monologue.
It's a great monologue. And it, iconic, like, captures what fashion is. And it, yeah, this is an entire movie of monologues. And it doesn't have one thing, no, that's better than this, no, like, trashy, yeah, rom-com. Trashy.
That is an iconic movie. How dare you?
Trashy. I did air quotes.
They can't see the air quotes. They only have your voice.
It has Adrian Grenier. It can only go so far.
I will say, I think the best part of this... Oh, I have a question as well after I've said this. Mm-hmm. So
if it involves, like, specifics, I wasn't really engaged.
No, when the first shootout happens, John Leguizamo is in the middle of a, yes, monologue, and his reaction... to a like the gunshots was very good.
Yeah,
he's like, right, he's like, honestly, he is so fucking phenomenal. And it's in movies like this where you've got your Judy Dench's and you've got your fucking Jude Laws or whatever, where I get really mad that he hasn't been given the opportunities that they have to the same extent because he is so good. Like, I mean, that little role, which you were right, he probably would have gone in for half a day, probably learnt the script off set while they were doing lights and stuff.
He had big balls in the morning and then this in the afternoon.
Yeah, 100%. That is exactly, that's how it works.
And then he smashed out a couple of, like, sloth lines for Ice, yeah, Age 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's phenomenal. Like, he is, yeah, like, if you want to see an example of very, very good John Leguizamo acting, and you've already seen Romeo and Juliet.
You've already seen about 20 other films.
Yeah. No, but it is. It's a really, really good example of some very, very good acting.
I think the other gentleman that was in the film wearing the vest is also a big John Leguizamo fan and watched his Tybalt and was like, I'm going to base my character on Tybalt. You know that other guy?
Oh, yeah. Oh, the one who played like the detective or something?
No, the my fashion... God. The fashion designer.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I was like, is this some cheap John Leguizamo Tybalt knockoff? What is going on?
This is bullshit.
What was his name?
Mervin.
Merlin. Merlin. I think he was the designer. I don't know.
There was too many characters.
There was a lot of characters.
But that detective guy, oh my God, was he in Shaft? Like, what?
Can I just say I opened up my phone internet browser just then to look up that actor to see who it was, thinking that the first thing that would come up would be like the Rage, the movie, because I've been looking at it. But the thing that came up was The Dress because I wanted to see if The Dress was still blue and black for me, and it is.
It's gold and white for me right now.
It's gold and blue. That's see gold and lilac.
It's blue and black.
Let's talk about the fucking gold and white, blue and black dress. Oh, my God,
so
bitch.
This is my question. This is my question.
Yeah.
Who did the shooting? Did we ever find out?
That's what frustrates me.
You know what? I could ask the same question, but it would be like very genuinely phrased like this. Same wording. This is a little masterclass in acting for our listeners. From
so do you want me to ask the question
acting.
Again?
No, I'm going to ask the question with different intention.
Okay.
What was the wording? You go. How did?
So who did the shooting?
Who did the shooting? And then what was your next bit? No, that was
that
it.
That was it.
That was the question. All right. My question is, who did the shooting? Because my question is like, does it tell you at the end? Was that while I was unstacking the dishwasher?
Whereas I'm like, I watched to the end and it was like,
who did the shooting? And I was like, who did the shooting? So, Mish, I don't know who did the shooting.
Really, tell us.
I don't think you find out. Like, society did the fucking shooting. I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
you never find out.
Fashion.
But also, am I right to say that at the end there, if either of you watched this like I did,
no.
Michelangelo, who we never see, who's behind the camera, went home with the model?
Lily Cole.
Yeah, went home with Lily Cole.
I thought she was amazing, by the way.
Incredible.
She was great.
She got baby face.
Yeah, her name was Lettuce Leaf.
Lettuce Leaf, isn't that ridiculous? Yeah. That's so funny.
It's so dumb.
Lettuce Leaf.
Did you know that when this movie was released, it was released to phone? It was the first movie ever to be released to phone?
I saw that on Wikipedia.
Yeah, same.
Oh, that's such a, like, funding application moment. Well, like, you know what I'm saying?
It was the first ever film to be released on a cell phone.
Was it filmed on a phone or released on a phone?
It's supposed to be the influencer guy that's filming is supposed to be filming on his cell phone. So it was really when social media, it came out in like 2009.
Yeah.
So it was really when social media was blowing, well, not even blowing up. It was sort of just getting started. Like Instagram, I don't think I had Instagram in 2009. Anyway, maybe I just started. Like this word
it's when it was when Facebook was properly more popular than MySpace. MySpace was gone and it was that kind of new way.
Instagram was more of a filter than it was a social media.
Yeah, I had it before you could have followers. And then people started following me. I'm like, what the fuck?
That's
and now
strange.
It's this like massive thing. Mm.
Yeah, it was it because there was some of the influencer stuff was very clunky, like very. But then I forgive it a little more if I go it was that ahead of its time.
Yeah, it actually was because the word influencer to me did not exist in 2009.
No.
So it was actually super ahead of its time for that. But looking back on it, you see that it's so daggy. But it kind of brought in this idea of the influencer.
It's like how anything about COVID-19 right now won't age well because we don't know what COVID-19 is for culture.
Mm. Yeah.
That's the same. They're like, influencer? And it's like, that doesn't exist yet. Yeah. We can't make art about it. Like, we don't know.
That's
As a
good
side
point.
Note, you just mentioned COVID. Can I just say, I'm not even sure if I'm allowed to say this, but feel free to cut it out, Thomas, if you want to. So you know how you've got ads on the show?
Yeah.
Love it. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Coin. That's huge.
Yeah.
That's how we're paying for the Tom that's going to cut this bit.
But one of the ads that you have is talking about getting tested for COVID if you have any, like, symptoms of scratchy throats or colds.
Wow.
The person that is saying the ad sounds like they have a cold and should probably go get tested, doll. Like, I'm like... You could have got somebody else in to do it.
Just like, if you feel like you're sick, go and get yourself tested. I don't know what's so funnier, that observation, or you think that we would cut that, because that's like better than half of what we include.
Yeah. I don't want to like ostracize you from ad comedy. Fuck, they're not listening to this.
No. What I love about that is that means the government is giving us money, which means the taxpayer is giving us money, which means my parents are still giving me money.
Well, my parents are doing that, but not through a loophole. It's just called being an unemployed actor.
You're just like, I'm so proud of you, Zach. You've gone and done it on your own. Oh, no, no, you're still paying me. Anyway, I'm off to call Screen Australia.
Well, that reminds me, do you guys remember the ads for Lava Life? I think it was like a dating website.
No.
So funny. So it was on TV. It was on free-to-air TV, probably around about the 2009s, actually.
Yeah, wow. We were still watching TV then. I remember like getting home from uni and watching Q&A with my roommates.
Yeah.
Anyway, fun fact.
Yeah, no, we don't watch TV anymore.
No,
but when
really.
we weren't watching Q&A, we were watching our box set of Skins.
We love Skins.
Mine was Sex and the City.
Yeah,
oh,
see?
great.
Yeah, that's the difference between the acting students and the musical theatre students.
Oh my God, absolutely.
Musical theatre students watch Sex and the City, we watch Skins. Anyway, in this
They're
lava
like the Jets and the Sharks, aren't they? The music theatres versus the actors.
That's the most musical theatre thing you could have said.
I know, I'm like, wait, another music theater
I actually
reference.
Think it's more like the Montagues versus the Capulets.
In this Lava Life commercial, they got some NRL player to promote it. And the NRL player comes out and he's like, hi, I don't remember his name, I'll just make it up. Some fucking NRL name. Hi, my name's Brody James. That is such an NRL name. My name's Brody James. I play for the Roosters. I used to be so uncomfortable socially. Lava Life has helped me so much. I've never seen someone look more uncomfortable in my life.
I think I do remember that very vaguely.
And then like a woman comes up and he puts his arm around and he's like, and that's how I met Bethany or whatever.
There's nothing better. I really do miss late night television and late night ads. Do you remember like hot dogs? Yeah, the sexy ads.
Love hot dogs, don't you?
I love hot dogs. Up late with hot dogs if you don't know. If that's so specific, but hot dogs.
No,
used
I
to
know
do
it. I know that show,
games.
That game show. Yeah. That gives me anxiety because that is like you need to go to bed, but for some reason you've been hypnotized by this awful game show.
Just terrible, and it was just
so
this guy that was on Big Brother,
hot
and he would just sit there, and his name was Hot Dogs, and I think the only reason his name was Hot Dogs was because someone else on that season had his shared first name.
She was like, I'm going to go with Hot Dogs.
And then he ended up hosting this show from like midnight to 6 a.m. where he would just ask a question, and the questions were quite easy, and then they just wouldn't answer the phone for an hour, so heaps of people would call in and pay 55 cents.
That's so true.
Terrible, terrible show.
Gambling.
I would like to say that in 2012, Tilly was what is essentially like prom king. It's called Encores King.
Mm.
And I, Mish Witrup.
Were you?
Was Encores Queen.
Wow.
It's true. And it was the right choice.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We've done so much for that.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I know. Don't you think so? Thank you.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah. I wasn't. I can't remember who got it.
If people were ever questioning how cool I was ever, yes.
Are you sure? Did that really happen?
Yeah.
That's not on my resume.
You should put that on. Just
Green Room Award nominee, Sydney Fringe winner. Prom King.
You're Prom King. And I just think that that's a really nice little beautiful way to wrap up this podcast so everyone knows how cool we were. Because that's student voted, bitch. Okay, Leguistamos.
Leguistamos.
Tough.
Do you want to go first?
No. I think this is a you first kind of situation.
I'm going to give it 2.5 Leguistamos.
Yeah, great. Yeah.
Because blink and you would have missed him. He wasn't in it that much. But the work he did was genuinely fucking stellar. Like, it was very good. That scene where there's a gunshot and he's the one to hear it and the reaction to that is fucking phenomenal acting.
Okay, I'm going to go with 2.5 because barely in it. No, I was just going to copy you. Because I liked the contrast. I thought that John was playing a very different character from everyone else in the film. Thought he brought a very different energy. I thought he brought a sort of ruggedness to a script that was fighting ruggedness and truth. And I love Eddie Izzard, and I think those two together, that would have been a fantastic little
pair. God, wouldn't it have been good?
So I'm going to give it a 2.5. You can't really go too low on the Leguistamos. Tilly, Leguistamos are how Leguizamo-y it is.
Yeah, this is the thing. So is it how good Leguizamo was in the film
no.
or how much Leguizamo had an impact over the
how
whole film?
How Leguizamo-y the film was.
Tell me a
take
film.
That as you
tell
will.
Me a film.
Yeah.
Not starring John Leguizamo, and I'll tell you how many Leguizamos it has.
Not starring.
Yeah, not because I don't want to give away future Leguizamos.
Any movie.
Devil Wears Prada.
I would say that's like a 1.5 Leguizamos.
I would say that that's a 1 Leguizamo.
Yeah, he's not in it. We're not going to go higher than 2.
Shouldn't that
yeah.
be a 0?
Well, no,
because you can unpack it a bit.
You know, and I think that, you know, like it. Adrian Grenier has a bit of has a bit of John energy.
John could have very easily done the Stanley Tucci role.
Yeah, we love it Tucci. Would have been
a it's New York. very New York. Yeah. I'm walking here like John Leguizamo.
The thrill of a great John performance, like the thrill you get from watching him play Tybalt is the same thrill you get from a great Tucci performance. So Tucci's performance in that film, along with the rugged, boyish handsomeness of Adrian Grenier, gives it a 1.5 Leguizamo, in my opinion. Does this make sense?
Not really. So,
so how many Leguizamos do you give Rage?
So.
I'm really proud of my, like, explaining my working out on the 1.5. Thank
that was
you.
Very
I think I'm fucking up the guy from Entourage's name, though.
That's fine.
Yeah, I was like, who? Adrian Grenier.
Grenier, he's the love interest.
Yeah,
yeah. Grenier? Yeah. He's got him and there's this like sexy Luigi era John, and they've got a similar.
I would not agree with you.
Like, they're like at least worth a quarter of a Leguizamo.
Maybe a
quarter purely because it's attractive, but I wouldn't
yeah,
say.
No, I feel you. Yeah. I take it back.
Okay, guys.
By the way, just very quickly, slipping in very, very quickly, this is most definitely a Daddy Guizamo film.
Daddy Guizamo.
Yeah, it's a difference between Dad Guizamo and Sexy Luigi. It's a more rounded daddy.
Yeah.
So there's different eras of
Yeah, of course.
I'm so sorry I interrupted you. That was so rude.
No. So it's like fucking dare you.
It's like Dad Guizamo, leaving. But with a frisson of Hollywood.
Gotcha. Yeah, he's lived because he's got a kid.
Yeah.
But he's not like full sweater vest yet.
Yeah.
No big up just yet.
No.
Okay, so I do have to say that this was the most, like, natural I've seen John Leguizamo. Mm-hmm. Like, my 5-star kind of Leguizamo film is when he, like, goes for a fucking character. I love that.
Mm.
I'm going to have to split it down the middle and give it 2.5 because I don't think his impact on the film was that great. You could have cut him from it and the film would have just still been as good.
You could
good.
Have cut the entire film and the film would have...
yeah,
you
truthfully.
Literally could have cut any character and I would have still been like, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
So, a smart, clean slit down the middle.
Yeah.
2.5 Leguizamos from Tilly.
Who doesn't love a clean slit? Oh, okay. Tilly, thank you so much for coming on to Leguizamorama and
so
reviewing
welcome.
This movie. How do people find you?
So you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Tilly Capulet, or you could subscribe to my YouTube channel, which is Tilly Capulet.
And currently Tilly is doing these reviews on RuPaul's Drag Race Down Under, right?
Si, bene, bene.
So funny. They're
Are you nice
so
to Reese?
Oh, he doesn't come up in the reviews. So
oh,
I
fantastic.
Just reviews
that's good.
The
but
fashion.
You like
I love Reese. Reese, I think.
He's a friend of the podcast.
Reese.
Reese. But you, if you don't know Reese from Two Wong Fu Leguizamorama fame.
He didn't bring it up on RuPaul's Down Under, but that's okay.
No. I think Reese is the constant for Australia. I think Reese has a career in Drag Race Australia because he's been so good, so funny. He makes Ru laugh so much. Shout out to Reese.
Reese. but no, we're big fans of you, and let's get you back for a Baz Luhrmann so you can actually talk about Baz Luhrmann. But thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.